Okay, on both sides. I think we said the first shmooze that maybe last year, 2 years ago, I don't know, but it's a great shmooze. I want to say it again. It's relevant to the second shmooze. The Parsha Tazria, talks about the mitzvah Bayom HaShmini Imo B'sar Rosa, special mitzvah of Bris Mila. So the famous, the beautiful Sefer HaChinuch, I forgot to put that one, it is. That's Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Beis. The mitzvah Mila talks about, in the first paragraph, he talks about the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Who? Shechot Chin Orga, Amachapiro Shagviya, take off the Orga. Porin Krum Rach, Shal Matu Men, I'm not a mole, so I can't tell you what it means exactly. They should go to Shapar, Rosh, Shabos Aver, Hiyadua, Gumevinim, I don't know, but he says people know about it. Shatashlum Surah Sa'adam, that the perfection of the form of a person is Bahasr Mena Osa Orla. When you have a bris, you're more physically perfected. Why? I don't know. I can't tell you that. I have to ask my Zohar experts, my Kabbalah experts. I don't know, but that's how it is. Tashlum Surah Sa'aguf Adam is only after the bris. Shito Sefis was extra piece. Take it off, now you're perfect. Okay. That's background. Mishurash HaMitzvah. What is the idea of the mitzvah, says the Chinuch? Lefi Sherotza HaShem Yisborach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Boa Ba'am to establish the place in the nation, Asher Hivdil, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated. We are different from the rest of the people. He took us apart from everybody else. Separated us. Rios Nikra Shemo. He wanted us to be his people. And we're separate. We're special people to be called his, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legion. We're his army. We're his people. To be called in his name. Also, what did he want? Hashem wanted to be Koveya. And these people, Os Kavua Begufam, to put something in their body, right? A little label, like so to speak, a little, what they call when they, by the cows, what they call the brand, right? The brand, the insignia, the whatever it's called, coat of arms, right? So he wanted to put something in our guf to signal, Avdilam, to separate them, Mishar Ho'amim, to separate them from other people, Besuras Gufam, in their physical body, in the form, the shape of their body, just like we're separate in terms of our neshama, your potential, maybe a midos or a tara, right? We're unique in terms of nefesh, so too in terms of guf. Hashem wants to make sure we are unique and special, that we're his people. Asher motzam, mavam, enar shava. Their existence, their makeup, their going and coming, it's very different. We're different people. So Hashem, the tachus of the reason for the bris mila is to make us, to put a brand in our skin, in our body, to show we are separate, we're different than the rest of the world. We're his people. You know, especially, you know, the king or the president can have a special, a little small secret service or small army, the elite, revolutionary, whatever it's called, right, different things. They're mine, they're special, they're set aside for me. The Jews, Chai Yisrael, set aside for me. That's what he wanted. It's very important in the Bris Mila because that's how the commitment gets established and continues. Besides the fact it's also fine. Here's the Kira Bosai. And this chosen nation, Hashem wanted to perfect us. And therefore, however, so the normal thing would be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he creates a person, right, should go ahead and create him in a different way. You want to have a special imprint, a special, should be different. So normally should have been, I'm just reading in, but you'll see that's what he means, right? Hashem would normally, just like he creates a person with whatever it is, a head and eyes and toes and whatever, right? The plan for the Jewish people should have been, and he should have created a person differently. That from their birth, from the womb, when they're born, right, they have a different, they're created differently, they're tashlum gufo, they're perfect. However, Hashem did not do that. That should have been the normal way of doing it because that's how you create a person. I want it to be different. That's Hashem. No, I have a different plan. Hashem wanted the completion to be done through the human being, unlike the rest of the body, but this part of perfection should be done through a person. The lo bero shalim beta. He did not create him perfect from the stomach. He should have been perfect from there. He should have been born that way. Why wasn't he? He says, no, I don't want that. Lirmos to teach us, Elov, Lirmos Elov, he kasher tashlum, Tsuras gufo, ayado, that just like, to teach us, just like the completion, the perfection of a person, the human body is done through a person himself. He himself does it. It's not done by Hashem. Hashem created me differently. No, I am the one who changes the shape and the form and the perfection. I bring the physical body to perfection. So too, it's in our hands and our potential capability to perfect the nefesh of a person. The Hechsher Pulosa, the Kedusha, the Tara, the Midos, who we are. We can perfect ourselves. Hashem wants us to know, to learn a lesson that you know why you're going ahead and doing this to yourself, because I want to make sure it's uppermost in your mind, it's clear to you that you can perfect yourself. How do you get the message? Because why do you think Hashem didn't make you perfect physically from birth? Obviously, because Hashem wanted to teach you a certain lesson. What was the lesson? I'm telling you right now, you should know, in case you're not aware of it, in case you're not Hilchus Musar and Hilchus Psychology, you're not aware, you should know that your future, your nefesh, your perfection of your spiritual part of you, your midos, your tara, your purity, your desire for more Yetzer Tov, the strength of Yetzer Tov is biyadcha. And that's the mess Hashem gives us, but the fact that that's why Hashem made sure that we achieve physical perfection through our own actions. So too, we should know we have the same thing can apply to a person's midos tovos and his perfection of his nefesh. So beautiful, beautiful vart, beautiful reason. I just one kash, one ha'ara, I should say. The ha'aras are both saying this is a very expensive way of teaching us this lesson. Because think about it, right? I'm sure we spoke about this last year. Sounds too familiar, but I think we did. But it's right. We speak about it again. Last year, no. Yeah, right? Last year, 2 years ago. When was it? 2 years ago, probably, because he doesn't know it, so it's probably 2 years ago. Okay. Maybe both, I don't know. Anyway, I both say, but the word is, imagine what would have happened if Hashem would have created a person perfectly, right? Without a need for us to have our own, to make a bris milah on our own. Hashem would have made us have a bris milah, which means every Jewish child born from a Jewish mother would be born differently. Right? They're born with an orla, they're born without an orla. We're different, we had a bris milah from the time we're born. So all the big doctors and the scientists and then the physicians and the psychologists and the sociologists and all the big thinkers, they would have said, hey, this is very interesting, you know? For some reason, it doesn't make any sense why people who are Jewish, who claim they were born, they got the Torah from Har Sinai and some Mount Sinai back then, Hashem made them chosen people. Hey, look at that. They're all born different than the way you are. What's going on with these guys? How could that be? There's no way to medically explain it. It doesn't make sense. How could it be? There's nothing like that in the history of the world, that you have a whole nation of people that are born differently. Their physical shape is different. Now, if I would hear that, right, if I would see that about ourselves, if we would say that, so we'd say, boy, we're special. Hashem chose us. How much more chizuk would there be to every one of us here? We want to have all our munas shailas and our, you know, what am I doing in my purpose in life? Let me do something else. I don't want to be Jewish. All right? What do you mean? You see, you're part of Hashem's chosen army. It's the biggest sign that I can possibly think of, except for the fact that Hashem can stand here and say, hey, guys, you know, you're with me. No, Hashem doesn't do that. But the close thing to that is that whoever is Jewish is born and has a different physical aspect. I'm sorry. Of their existence. They're different. They're different people. There you see how they're born differently. And that would place an achrayus on each one of us, not just an achrayus, an ability to go ahead and act differently and be more motivated to do Ratzon Hashem, because we see that's what we're here for. It wouldn't have Rabbi Naim Shmuz, Rabbi Luban Shmuz, Rabbi Palin Shmuz. Some water, someone? It's plain cup of water, I'm sorry. Plain cup, simple water, I'm sorry. You wouldn't have to be Shmuzin all day long. Talk about Hashem, Rabbi Cohen would have to come and convince you, show all these videos. Show you one video. Here's a Jew and here's a guy. They're all different, right? Wouldn't that be powerful? Elamai Hashem says, no. I'm a vater on that. I'm mocha on that benefit. I'm willing to give it up. You know why? Because I have something which is worth losing that opportunity. You know what that is? I want people to get the message. I want them to know that you guys, you, Klal Yisrael, you're in charge of your midos. You're in charge of who you are. You're in charge of what your nefesh is going to be about. Nefesh means, what's my nefesh? Not just some spiritual thing. It's who I am. It's my midos. How I conduct my Yiras Shamayim, my Avas Hashem, my Chesed, my lack of tivus and kinah and gaiva. That's what my nefesh is all about. Right? So we can do it, I both say. We have that ability to go ahead and grow and change ourselves, and that's such an important message. Hashem said, "Amocha, all the biggest benefit Hashem could have given us, Amocha that." Okay, so that's the one I both say. So you see from here the tremendous chashivus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places on us getting the message. We have to know it's not so easy. Hashem has to change the world around or make something very different so that we'll get the message. It was so important to the hair our tachlis is we are here to change, not just we're here to learn, we're here to do mitzvahs. No, we're supposed to change ourselves. That's our tachlis, that's our purpose. Our purpose in this world is to change ourselves from a raw, unperfected person to a perfectly blended, you know, molded individual, not just in the physical. We can do it in the physical, so too we should do it in the spiritual, in terms of midos and derecheres and all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in terms of perfection. That's number one, Rabbi Yossi. That's how Choshev is the idea, the concept that we should know and internalize that we could are here, we could change ourselves. Then we have this unbelievable, I'll show you one example. I'll show you how important this is, Rabbi Yossi. Let me show you this beautiful shmuz. This I saw in Yehuda Reif Chassman says this. I'm not going to take credit for it, he says it, but it's a beautiful shmuz. Last week, and this week, I'm sorry, this week's Haftorah. So you all know the story. You learned the Navi in Rabbi Ruben Shir. I'm sorry, in I don't know who Shir was. But you learned the Navi about Naaman. Naaman was a Sartsava, Melech Haram. He was the big general. Melech Haram, right? He was a big man, but he had Saras. He was a Mesorah. You know what Chazal say about a Mesorah? I think there's four people. Four people considered like the mace, like the dead. One is a mitzvah. That's how terrible their life is. It's so hard, so frustrating, so physically, you know, so physically challenging. That's a mitzvah. That's how bad a mitzvah is. So he was a mitzvah. And you can imagine being the king or being the chief general, whatever he was, right? He tried every single, used all the power at his disposal, all the money, the power of the throne, the power of being in charge of the army, everything, to become better, to have a refuah shleima. He sent messengers to Mustafa, got all the best doctors in the world, whatever he can, because he can't live like this. So that's all Mustafa's background. He did all that. What happened? He finds out, without going to the whole story, some young woman came and told him about the Jewish people, whatever, and their leaders. The bottom line, he was told to go visit Elisha. To go visit Elisha. And Elisha could help him. He's an Isha Akim. He's a man of God. He can help him out, and he'll hopefully give him refuah shleima. So he went there. He made the trip. I'm sure it wasn't a one-day journey. It was a whole different country, and he went there. Vayav pasuk tes vayav Naaman besusav rikbo comes his own entourage. Vayamod pesach habayis Elisha. He stays outside the door, by the door of his house. Vayishach elav Elisha. So what happens? Elisha responds to him. He sees him outside. I guess he sends out. He sends out malach. He sends a messenger. Reimar. Go, take a bath, dip into the yarden seven times, and you'll be fine. That's the medicine. You want a medicine, you want an elixir for good health, that's it. Go jump into the river, into the Jordan River seven times, and you'll be cured. So if I was being Naaman, I would say, oh, Gavaldi, I got it, that's easy. Let me do it. Let me just take a bath. I go swimming a couple of times. Pick my finger up probably a couple of times from the mikveh, right? From the water, be seven times, right? That's how they do it, right? Put the mikveh in and out. Easy. I got it. That's the best hope I have. I tried everything else. I go to the man of God. I'll jump, follow his rule. No, that's not what his response was. Naaman gets upset, gets angry. And he left. And he walked, he left, whatever. Yomer, Neo Marti, Eli, Yeisei Yotso. I had thought, I guess, I had said, he'll come out to me and greet me. I thought he'll come out and, you know, daven to Hashem, pray on my behalf. He'll raise his hands to his God, and I'll be cured. That's not what happened. And he stayed inside. He just sent his mouth out. He had the chutzpah not to come out and greet me, to Muhammad, by the way, I should be, I'm the king, I'm the chief general, I'm the big man. He'll tov, amano, farpar, and haros, domestic. There's a lot of waters, a lot of rivers and stuff in Damascus and where I come from all the more than all the waters of Israel. I don't need this Jewish river over here. I'll take a bath over there if that's what he tells me to do. I'll go over there. We'll have to go to do his thing. I don't need him. That was his response in anger. Vayifan v'yelch b'chema. He went that in anger. So Zavadav come. Zavadav is Zavadav come. And he said, Avi, Dover, Godah, Hanavi, Diber, Lecha, Halo, Tase. What would happen if the Navi would come and tell you a very hard thing to do? You know, go climb 45 mountains a day. You would do it, right? You want to save your life. You want to be healthy. That's where you schlepped all these, you know, these days and the whole massive trip. You get the whole army, whatever. You would do it, right? Wouldn't you do it? Because you want to get sick. Like, what's the Shaila? And he just told you something easy. what's going on? Come, they had the chutzpah, I guess. They cared, I guess, for their boss. And they went over to the boss and says, hey, what are you doing? You know, if he would tell you something very hard, you'll do it. So why aren't you doing it over here? It's so easy to do. Just jump in the river 7 times. What happened, Rabbi Osai? This is mind-boggling, right? The guy is dying away. He's a Mesorah. He's looking at wherever he can. His only hope is Elisha. Obviously slept so far because he had some hope. He had some reason to believe. Even though he wasn't Jewish, he wasn't part of Kai Yisrael, he was a king someplace else. But he felt, you know, this is, maybe he can do it. He's a God-fearing man. Now, let me ask you a question. When he left his home city, he's traveling to this foreign country, and there's this Jewish, you know, big angel of God, a man of God, who he's going to go meet. Did he expect to get the same reception, the same cover that his people give him? You know, remember, it wasn't like everyone has pictures and all that. You know, he has his own town, he's the king. Over there, he's a no one. Okay, well, I'm king over there. Fine, okay, so I'm Machabi more than the rest of the people, but he knew, anybody Bar Seich would know, I'm not going to get the same amount of cover over there as I get over here. And Elisha, he knew Elisha was a God-fearing man, he was a special man, and I'm sure people know that there's the priests and the rabbis and the ministers, right? They're different, they have a different set of values. They might like to have maybe some money, they want some cover, but their set of value system is very different than mine is. So I'm not expecting to go ahead and bow down to me. You know, he's from a different country, he's not part of my people, he's a very religious, scholarly, spiritual person. So what did Naaman expect? He wasn't looking for it. He wasn't expecting them, you know. But what happened? B'shas Maisa, when he got there, and he sees this total lack of, it's hard to even say what it is, but a lack of derech eretz, a lack of cover that he would like to see, which he's used to. He was used to it. It wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, something crazy happened. He was used to this, and he didn't get it now, you know. So he might not have thought of that exact scenario. Maybe it was a little surprise, but he got very angry. Because his midah of gaiva, his midah of I want covered, was so internally ingrained within him. Okay, he was the king, so he was probably worse off in that regard. He had a greater natural, it was reaffirmed every single day of his life when people bowed down to him, people gave him covered, fine. But that was the midah, and that midah almost killed him. So what happens? His avadim come and say, hey, come on. Because they had no negiyas, they had no covered, so to them it's like pasha, like, what are you doing? Your Highness, what are you doing? Like, they couldn't figure it out because they're very, you know, simple. They weren't geniuses. It doesn't require genius to figure it out. But they, coming from their perspective, realize that you're insane. Why aren't you doing this? You're saving your life. What are you running away for? If you were giving a hard thing, of course you would do it. So for sure, the easy thing. What's going on? Well, so that is the power of a negative bida. In this case, it happens to be gaiva. It happens to be the desire for cover. That's what it was over here. So other midas have different, but that's why the first move is so important, such a lesson to us. We have to get rid of our negative midos. We're here for that purpose. We're born with that goal, with that God-given mission to work on ourselves, to perfect our nefesh, perfect our spiritual part of me. Just like I can perfect my physical part, I can perfect my spiritual part. That's our mission. And what a difference it makes. You have people running around the world. I can tell you stories, not for now, but people say crazy things. Why? Because there's some involvement, some negiyah, some, whether it's anger, whether it's kinah, whether it's gaiva, whether it's taiva, who knows what's affecting them. But these things have powerful effects, so much so, as you see over here, what happens? He can mamish ignore and walk away in a huff of anger from the cure to his terrible tzaras. That's for us the power. That's the deathly power, literally deathly power of a bad midah. That's our job, Rabbi Osai. Hatzlocha Rabba. Keep on doing it. Shkoyach.